analogy, and Orell was right. You know, you know when a guy gets mean, he gets junkyard dog mean, and that's dirty. And that's the way the Israelites are. When they finally get ticked off, then they get junkyard dog mean, and that's, you know, that's bad.
Well, in that case, I go along with you then. That's very true, and it is amazing just how apathetic our people can be from time to time. I mean, it's so gross and so much in your face anymore. It's a wonder that it hasn't already started. But then again, it's all in Yahweh's hands, and
it's always in His hands.
You know, yeah, that's right. When he sounds that trump, I think, well, the way I like to think of it, Willie, is that He's got His hands pushing us down right now, and I think He's holding us back because He wants us to be so angry when this one comes up that we're going to finally do what He commanded our ancestors to do, but they didn't do it.
That's right, to totally destroy the enemy, which from my studies is the Jews and the people that help them. You know, you can't blame everything on them because, you know, although they're behind everything just about, you can't blame them for everything because our people support them and help them.
Right.
And they couldn't do anything if our people would remain loyal to their own people, but they won't do it. And
well,
our people are so easily led by aliens that's why God calls them sheep.
Right, right. Well, as a friend of mine that goes by Biophilus says, he would recommend we de-kosherize ourselves. Just tune them out. You know, the scripture tells us to come out of Babylon because Yahweh's going to bring it down in flames, and you can kind of see that starting to happen with all the earthquakes and the volcanoes, and the stock market is just teetering there. So we're on the verge of an economic downturn here, a severe one. And so he's going to take this system to the woodshed, and those people who are counting on this system for their survival and worship this system are going to be going down in flames right along with it.
No, there's no doubt about that. You know, a lot of people also, they don't understand it, they don't believe it because they don't stay. Christians, you know, let's face it, Christians learn all that they got, the Judeos now I'm talking about,
right,
learn all that they absolutely know in the first two, 3 or 4 years they go to church. After that, the Judeo-Christian preachers ain't got nothing to teach them because they don't know nothing either. And they ain't going to study. They're not about to study to learn anything. And so they just sit up there and they say the same sermon. If people would just listen to what those folks are really saying, they have the same sermon day after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. They never change it. It's the same dang thing. And the only difference is that it's worded a little bit different. But our people just don't do it. They park their brain at the church house door, mm-hmm. and they don't pick it up until they leave, and even if they pick it up then. So they can learn everything that the Judeos has got to teach them in about 3 years of going to church.
True.
And also this thing it keeps escaping my mind. I wanted to mention it. If you're not afraid, if you don't mind getting into the weather.
Oh, no, that's fine.
I am convinced in my mind that about half of the weather problems that's going on, especially right here in the Middle West, in Oklahoma and Texas and whatnot, is because of the conditioning or weather modification and control that the government has, which leads right back into what you're talking about. You know, God's putting His foot on us, but He's allowing them to put their foot on us.
Right.
And a lot of people say, they say, nobody can control the weather. If they can't control the weather, Dan, why are they making treaties with one another that they won't interfere with the weather, modify the weather, or modify the environment in each other's country without prior notification?
Right.
Now, if you can't control the weather, why are you making such stupid things as treaties for that? You know, that's pretty dumb, you know it?
Yes, it is.
So they can control the weather to a certain extent. In fact, I'm convinced that's why that the weather in the last 5 years, if you've noticed, has been different than it has for centuries. You know, you had more floods and stuff in the last Well, let's say 10 years than they've had in a 500 years prior to that.
Uh-huh.
And I'm convinced that the government is fooling around, seeing what they can do here and seeing what they can do there, and it's causing it, you know.
Uh-huh.
So, and if anybody wants a copy of those treaties, then they can email me at texan13@earthlink.net. texan13@earthlink.net. And request those treaties, and I'll send anybody that wants a copy of them a copy of those treaties.
Right. Well, we had a guest on last week that wrote the book on HARP. You've heard of HARP?
Yeah.
And it was his opinion, and also from a lady that called in Vernell that same night. It was both their opinions match up exactly with what you're saying, and they went into great detail as to why they feel that way. And if you get a copy of Jerry Smith's book, HARP, the ultimate weapon of the conspiracy, he goes into a lot of the reasons he feels just like you do, Willie. And a good question that's asked is, if they're not up to no good, then why all the secrecy, you know?
Right.
Excuse me?
I say right.
Oh,
also,
yeah.
Also, another thing that I got to thinking about today, I put it out on email, you may not have got it yet, there's a fellow that's been constantly harping about little bitty television sets and microphones in various and sundry large cities across the country. Well, I know for a fact that I was driving a truck that they do have little antennas on a lot of the bridges, the large bridges, you know, it's going in and out of cities.
Okay.
And I've seen those things in those little houses, you know. I suppose you've probably seen them, the little houses that are built beside the bridges.
Uh-huh.
And a friend of mine, he used to be in the CIA, you know, and he's long since gone, so it don't make any difference now. They can't hurt him. And since he's already dead, you can't hurt the dead very much. So anyway, he told me, and this was several years ago, and I was remarking about one of those, and they said that those are there but to receive a signal, and at some point in time, whenever they get ready, they can blow up those bridges, and that those things are receivers to accept a signal that will blow up a bridge. Now, I've had people laugh at me for saying something about that and all that, but nevertheless, that's what he said. Now, I've never been able to verify that because I never had time nor the inkling to really go, you know, to digging around and see if I could dig up a bomb or whatever, you know, around one of those places.
Right.
Because I really didn't want to go to jail just to satisfy curiosity. And I figured that that'd be the first thing they'd do. If that was true, the first thing they'd do is lock me up and I'd never get out of jail. So I had some kids I had to raise, so
uh-huh.
I didn't go to the trouble to dig it up and to see. But people, if they'll just look, when they go by a bridge, if they'll look, and it's on every major city that I was ever in, and I've been in nearly every one of them, the little antennae's sitting there, and, you know, it's a little, just an obtuse little antenna, not no big thing,
uh-huh.
It's a little bitty thing, it doesn't create a whole lot of attraction, but it's there on every one of them, or there's a little house. And in that little house, or near it, there's an antenna, supposedly, to receive these signals. Now, people laugh if they want to. I don't really care, but that's what the man told me. And he told it to me for the truth, and I asked him about some other questions. And he said, I didn't need to know. And I said, well, why is that? And he said, because if they found out you knew, they'd kill you. And he said, me and your friends, and I'm not going to tell you. I said, oh, well, okay, you know. What can I say, you know?
Yeah. Well, people laugh today, Willie, and anymore I feel sorry for them as soon as they open their mouth and start laughing, because it's the first indication that they're one of the brain-dead sheep out here that can do no thinking on their own. They only know what the media tells them.
Right.
You know, and they're pathetic, actually. I mean, they laugh at us, and yet they are truly pathetic because they don't have a creative or original thought in their heads. They simply regurgitate whatever the talking heads, the blathers, and everybody else that are on the evening news. That's the only information they got. It's the only opinion they have because they don't they don't even have enough free time in their day to just sit down and think about a subject with their own thoughts. Well, I was just going to say, they pump their heads full of this garbage, and most of it produced by Jews. I mean, anybody that does any research, they're going to find that out, that they're behind it. And so their heads are constantly filled with the Jewish point of view because they either got a Walkman on with a headset or a boombox or a TV set on or a movie house they're going to, or they're going to some sports arena, and they own all that stuff. And so their heads are just constantly being filled with Talmudic Judaism, and so they have no thoughts of their own. It's like their brains have been sucked right out of their heads.
Well, that's what I was saying about the Judeos. You know, when they park their brain at the church house door, you know, that's all they get. They don't get any more because they can't learn anything because of the fact the preacher that's preaching to them doesn't know anything anyway. And so he can't teach them anything, and they won't learn it because they don't want to. You know, people say, I hear it all of the time on shortwave and everywhere else, that, well, we just got to wake our people up. Bull, our people are awake. They know what's going on. They don't care. As long as they got a bottle of beer to drink and the old lady next door that they can chase and try to get between the sheets, they don't care what's going on. They don't care. As long as they don't cut off their food, their beer, or their women, they don't care what happens.
Well, sad to say that that's true for a lot.
It really is, and it's terrible. That makes me sick, you know, to know that. But I know it, and I see it, and I don't know what to do about it because it makes me sick, makes me madder, and it makes me want to revert back to my old self. Which is a truck driver, and as you know, their language is not none too proper.
Yeah, a little bit like the military. Yeah, I know. We're going to go here to break in just a few seconds, Willie, so collect your thoughts. But I wanted to get your opinion on how we can be a unified body after the break.
Okay.
So everybody stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Sponsor 14, 7.71 wideband audio. The Heritage Broadcasting.
You look different.
Well, I feel good. My gums and mouth used to bother me.
Did you find a good dentist?
No, a good toothpaste and mouthwash.
Well, your breath does smell great. What brand are you using?
Vitamur. It doesn't have any fluoride, sugar, NutraSweet, or aspartame. It only has good things. Nothing that can harm my teeth, gums, or body.
How do I get it?
Well, seeing that it's a good thing, you have to get it from a health food store or distributor. If you'd like to locate a distributor, call 888-558-8482. That's 888-558-8482 for healthy teeth, gums, and mouth.
Oh, it tastes good, too.
When the eagles fly.
Be it a spill, accident, war, or terrorism, potassium iodate will protect you, your children, and your pets by blocking the thyroid and preventing it from absorbing radioactive iodine. Youngsters are extremely susceptible to thyroid cancer after exposure to radioactive contamination. Medical Corps is now offering the easier-to-dose potassium iodate. Each factory-sealed bottle contains 285 milligram potassium iodate, which has an unlimited shelf life. Each bottle of potassium iodate is $24.95. Or for orders of four or more, each bottle is only $22. Send your payment today to HBS, Post Office Box 5583, Evansville, Indiana, 47716. That address, once again, is HBS, Post Office Box 5583, Evansville, Indiana, 47716.
HBS, the home of truth, freedom, and liberty.
Welcome back to By Yahweh's Design with Pastor Dan. And now here's your host, Pastor Dan.
Welcome Welcome back, everybody. And again, our topic tonight is unity, specifically unity within the body of believers in Yahweh. And our guest tonight is Willie from Oklahoma. The call-in number for any comments or questions is area code 812-476-3026. And we certainly encourage anybody who would want to call in with any kind of comment or question. And remember, there is no such thing as a stupid question. Okay, Willie, before we went to break, I had a thought there. Now, along the idea of unity, in your article that you wrote on unity and what treason did to the Cubans who were trying to throw communism, try to overthrow communism, you made the statement in there that had they just kept up the work that they were already doing as little groups, otherwise lots of little groups handing out pamphlets, doing talk radio, I mean, whatever they could do to expose the communists and hurt Castro, if they had just kept that up and not listened to the lie that they needed to become this one big army to go in there and overthrow them, they would have succeeded.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt in my mind that they would have. You know, Dan, I'm a firm believer, and I hope I'm wrong, but I'm a firm believer that this country is due for a revolution, and I think it's coming. And it may not come in my lifetime because of the fact that, you know, I've got health problems, and I may not live long enough to see it, but I believe that it's coming.
Uh-huh.
I've warned my kids. I've taught all my kids and my grandkids how to shoot. And they're all expert shots. Even my little 8-year-old grandson is an expert shot with a rifle. He can bust a marble at 50 yards with a .22 rifle.
That's good.
And I've taught them all to shoot and to take care of themselves and to hunt in the woods and whatnot. Or if I haven't, their dads have. Because I taught their dads when they were younger. But anyway, I believe that we're going to have a revolution in this country. And that's the way the thing's going to be fought, at least for a good while. And that's with little isolated bunches here and there and somewhere else. They're not going to be a big army. They could not stand up to a knockdown, drag-out fight with the United States Army at the present time. There's going to be some of the military, of course, is going to come to our side. I mean, it's just a natural thing. You know, I mean, if somebody had told me to shoot my dad or my mother, when I was 25, 30 years old and in the Army, I'd have shot whoever took give me the orders. You know, I would have just done it because they wouldn't have dared tell me that because I would have killed them.
Uh-huh.
But and that's the way it's going to be. Some of them is going to be my children would be the same way and whatnot. And I've had some of them in the military. My girls even went to the military. So you know, I tried to get them to train. You know, get them the training that they're going to need.
Uh-huh.
And they're going to need guerrilla training, and that's what the Cubans should have done. They should have continued the guerrilla warfare, and if they'd have done that, they'd have drove Castro plumb out of business. There ain't no army on earth can fight a concerted guerrilla force. They just can't do it. It's not possible. It can't do it.
Right. Well, I agree with you. I agree, because one of the problems I have is so many people... Now, we want unity within the brotherhood. Don't get me wrong, like we talked about, within your fellowship or your church, whatever groups or however you get together to worship and fellowship, etc. Within those bodies, you do want unity. You want unity that you are kin and that you're going to treat each other like family. I mean, that is unity there and help each other and stick up for each other within your little groups. But as far as all the little groups coming together, I don't believe that's going to happen until the trump sounds and Yahweh calls forth the army, because it would be absolutely ludicrous to do it now for all the reasons you just stated.
Well,
which gets me to the example of Gideon. You know the story of Gideon, right?
Sure.
And the fact that he started out, I believe it was with either 32 or 33,000 men, and by the time Yahweh told him to get rid of all the cowards and the ignorant, he was down to 300. But he was able to win a major battle against overwhelming odds with those 300 dedicated, very thoughtful, straightforward, believing men in his army. 300 of them was able to conquer several hundred thousand, I believe was the number the enemy. And the amazing thing is that he did not suffer a single casualty.
Well, doesn't it say that he conquered an army without number?
Right.
You know, as a grasshoppers and whatnot. But you know, the funny part about that is, you know, if you really think about that, God didn't make him fight that fight. He didn't have to fight the fight. Them people fought themselves.
Right.
They destroyed themselves, and that's what a guerrilla warfare will do if it's carried on properly.
Right.
They begin fighting amongst themselves because they don't know who they can trust. First thing they know, they turn around, they get shot at, and they turn around and get shot at again.
Well, they're doing that already, aren't they?
Huh?
I say they're doing that already.
Oh, yeah. Well, they already, you know, you can already see the Jews are getting desperate. That's why they're putting out so doggone much garbage nowadays, is because they're desperate. They know that their time is near when they're going to be destroyed, and they will be totally destroyed. There won't be any of them left. As the scripture says, there won't, and excuse my French, but this is exactly what the scripture says, there won't be one of them that pisses against the wall.
Right.
They'll all be gone. They'll
That's
be
right.
totally destroyed.
That's right.
And, you know, all I can say is, well, let that day come.
Well, I'll tell you what, it'll be a bigger, brighter day when that day comes, because everything that's anti-God, anti-Christ in this world is got a group of Jews behind it. And the biggest joke and the biggest lie ever told on this planet, well, actually there's two of them. One, that the Messiah was a Jew, which is a big lie. And the other one is, of course, that the people who call themselves Jews today are God's chosen people, which is just a bold and outrageous lie also. Now, as far as, like you said, you've trained your children and taught them everything about preparation, and I know Pastor Wickstrom and Bob and Colonel Farrell have all been telling people on the on their programs that they need to get ready physically and certainly spiritually, because as the story of the bridesmaids, okay, and the oil, okay, there were five that paid attention and had the oil, and then five maidens that did not. I believe it behooves our people to be prepared for when Yahweh will call them forth, because we don't know exactly when that time is. I mean, the scriptures that I've read all say that this can all come about in a very short period of time, and that we should be ready at all times.
Yeah, I agree with that totally, Dan. What can I say? I mean, the truth is the truth. You know, people need to be ready. But you don't see people getting ready because they don't believe it can happen. You know, that's the old siren song. You know, it can't happen here, but it does.
Right. Well, you know, they set us up for this year by last year with all the hoopla over Y2K. And they did a good job of that, because I had personal friends that were working on this problem within companies, and they had me convinced and everybody else convinced this was for real, because they were spending 16 hours a day, 7 days a week working on these problems. And these people had no reason whatsoever to lie about what they were doing. So they hyped this thing up. And of course, when it didn't come down, like a lot of people said it might, again, that it might come down, a lot of people stepped back and said, well, that I don't need all my goods. I don't need the surplus stuff that I've bought, and I can just sit back and relax because everything is okay now. And yet, that was for they called it the end of the century and the beginning of the millennia last year, when in reality, it's this year.
Right. Well, you know, before you come on, you know, before you got to receiving my email, I wrote a deal on that, you know, that it was all a bunch of foo-for-all, you know, not to worry about it, you know, but it doesn't hurt, and I was one of the first, and we bought up a bunch of canned goods and stuff, because it doesn't hurt to be ready. You got to be ready sometime anyway. You got to prepare for what's coming,
uh-huh.
And when the storm strikes, and then I did a study in 1972 or 3. I got into an argument with some boys down in Texas A&M about the food supply in the United States. And I told them then that there wasn't enough, that America did not raise enough food at that time to feed our people. And I told them that if according to the figures that I had come up with, that if they cut off all of the foreign food, that it would only last about 6 weeks, and then it would, you know, and the fact is that it wouldn't last any longer than that, it's because people will go to raiding the warehouses. When they start running out of food, they're going to go get it wherever it's at. Because they're going to feed their family. I hear a telephone ring. And so we got into quite an argument about it. And you know what? Them boys, when they said they would prove me wrong, but you know not a one of them ever come back?
I'm not surprised. Well, you know, I just read an article in a book written by a congressman from Indiana back in 1940. Now, this guy, he wrote a book called Smokescreen, and it's just an amazing book because he was warning people clear back in 1940 as to the socialists and the Marxists in our government and in the planners, social planners, and the way they were using under Roosevelt, they were using taxation to steal our wealth. But he made that point back then that we had these people working within our society and just totally taking over everything and centralizing everything. And that's the point I wanted to get to, is that he pointed out that when you centralize everything, that is a communist concept. That when you have a centralized control, now it's very easy for a very small oligarchy at the top to take over everything and control everything.
Right.
And pretty soon you're a slave to these people who control your energy and your money system, etc. And yet, even back then, in 1940, here's a congressman from Indiana. In fact, he was right out of South Bend. And he's warning everybody, just like Lindbergh tried to, and the congressman from Pennsylvania, his name escapes me at the moment, but they all tried to warn us about the communists, and they very much pointed out the fact that Roosevelt was one of them.
I believe we got Lewis from California on the line.
Okay. Willie, we got Lewis from California on the line. Lewis, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, gentlemen, and Happy New Year to you. I have been listening to you with quite a bit of interest there because I think you're getting right down the line the way it's going to go. And you know that Y2K thing, that cost the American taxpayers $6.2 billion, and it cost foreign taxpayers about $4.3 billion to avert that disaster and keep the big party going for the globalist internationalists that were celebrating their takeover worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what I'm really saying is for any of you out there that think us folks weren't hitting it right on the nail head, that kind of money isn't spent for something that's not real. But by the same token, if you remember the true story of the colonel that showed up a week before December 7th, saying that they were pretty sure that was the weekend. That kind of falls in line, too. It could possibly be because when the Defense Department does the projections of what a big one would look like, it's always a fall day or a winter day because that increases the cold casualties and the people that are wounded. It is also a good time to have the prevailing winds spread the contamination of various different types. You have a lot of reasons to do it, plus the fact that if you do it during the holidays, then you have maximum number of people that are off duty and not at their post to support any defensive operations. So the picture you really come up with when you put together everything that the defecting spies have told us about the other side never standing down with their exotic weapons, and you add up all the attack profiles and everything we've got from the other side, and these RA-115s, which were forward deployed, and they can't recover them, the picture does look like if somebody was going to do that deliberately so they could break this country up and eventually put it into those UN regions, you'd need an all-out war really as a catalyst to start that and then to start the internal fighting, and you'd need to get the farmers off the land and all these things food shortages and the widespread death and destruction and people fighting over what little is left. You know, in their own writings, these globalists and internationalists, which are actually worse than the communists, I believe, because they bring in a whole lot of Nazi mass murder, Satanistic ideas that go far beyond even the communists. Of course, the communists killed something like 6 to 8 times the people the Nazis did, but heck, the communists had a lot more time to kill people. So, you know, the scenario you guys are coming up with and the conclusions you're coming to are highly probable, and I'll tell you, I always check over my stores and look over my stores at this time of year, because if you were going to pick a fall day or a winter day, and you were going to pick a holiday season when most people are off duty and leaving everything behind lightly manned, and if you were going to wait until we got down to the lowest levels of SALT 2 so that there would only be just a few first strike and a few second strike facilities that you'd have to attack, if you were going to wait until you could see whether the United States people would just disarm and totally surrender and turn in their guns, like out here in California, if you could see it wasn't going to happen, this would be pretty close to the time, wouldn't it, gentlemen?
Yeah, I would say so. Lewis, if you don't mind my asking, what's your background? Do you have a military background?
32 years, Department of Defense, Black Ops, Logistics Support, Special Space, and Military Space, Logistics Support, Military Space Vehicle Monitor, and monitor for several of the Delta programs and the single stage into orbit.
I'm at Eaton with a friend of mine.
Trust me, gentlemen, when I tell you that what I'm repeating to you is the same conclusion that you'd come to if you saw the same reports I had to read to do that job. So we're getting real close, and to really start the kind of fourth-generation warfare, they want to get Americans to kill Americans in large numbers, especially fighting over what little food and water and stuff is left.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting real close to that time. We're just about on top of the time now where the patriots here in California are going to have to make the decision. Because once you surrender your military pattern firearms, it's over.
Right.
And right after the first of the year here, the patriots out here that have sworn an oath to support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, they're going to have to make the decision. Are they going to retain their arms and do that, or are they just going to surrender?
Right.
Gentlemen, I think you know the answer when it comes to telling Americans to surrender. So
well, I hope so.
That leads you to one conclusion about what the other side's going to do, because when you read everything from the, when you read all of them, all the globalist internationalist stuff and all the Marxist and socialist material that's folded into it,
uh-huh,
they basically make the point that we shall go along with them or we shall be nuked. And it's not just nukes. They're talking about biologicals. Chemicals are something that require 8 to 12 times the bomb bay space and the missile throw weight warhead carry space. And it's not uncommon for the strict Air Force guys that haven't been in the aerospace commands to say, bomb weight, or warhead weight, but chemicals are only used against facilities that can mount second and third strikes and are basically hardened with airlocks.
Hey, Lewis. Lewis.
You guys hear what I'm saying?
Hey, Lewis.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Sure can.
Hey, say, you know what you say about what Americans would do on giving up, I used to would have agreed with you 100%. I wouldn't have thought they'd do, but you know, I tell you what, as easy as they've been turned against the patriotic community by the Jewish propaganda, I don't believe that anymore. I think I think it would be just like it was in the days of the revolution, that most of them wouldn't care one way or the other who won, as long as it didn't bother them, and there would only be a 3 or 4% that would actually fight.
Well, there is 3 or 4% in any revolutionary movement that is the basic hardcore, that is the leadership, that does initiate the action. But if you go take a look at the books that have been written by people like James F. Dunnigan, where they've given you the exact figures that our government knows exist in this area, Dunnigan and Nolpe and one other guy have programmed almost 97% of the top secret eyes only war games that the super elite, the globalists, and the internationalists play. And they've been doing that clear back to the 1960s when they decided that to really, after that big all-out conflict and the Civil War goes on here, which is really fourth-generation warfare, after the all-out conflict, and fourth-generation warfare, the major component of it is race war, and the minor components are Revolutionary War, Civil War, and religious war. But when they planned on coming in afterward and cleaning up the mess here and dividing us up into UN regions, which was their plan, their original plan back in the early 60s out of the Delphi Bureau, and it's still so classified, that's all I can call it. It was a secret think tank under the RAND Corporation, much more secret than the RAND Corporation. They planned for 120 super airlifters, which the C-17 is the super airlifter. And they basically said that when all that fighting takes place and the UN peacekeepers come in here to break us up, and they wanted to use British and French, or Chinese, if they just felt like there was a whole needful lot of killing to do by a whole lot of people left that still wouldn't surrender. But they planned 120 C-17s, and they had to survive those other conflicts. They had to be pre-positioned or moved around in the last few minutes before the attack on this country in such a way that 120 C-17s would have to survive somewhere in the world flying somebody's flag on them, even if they were built here in the United States and just rented to the other countries that the UN would use. Now, you should see some major pullout of the globalist and the internationalist, the upper-ranking Marxist and communist. You should see some major pullout before the initial surprise attack comes on this country, and then the other stuff will flow pretty much in order. And they intend to get Americans, mostly, to kill Americans by their own hand. So it is very, very grim stuff. And if anybody thinks that they're just going to make the decision that they're not going to fight or that they're not going to participate, and those numbers you were talking about, it gets down to the point where if you get about 7.3% of the people turned off to the government with their carrying on that they've been doing, then you have guerrilla warfare, major guerrilla warfare, and it's very, very difficult to stop it. If it goes up to where you have 13% of the population turned off to a government, then you're talking about major battles taking place between government forces and disgruntled guerrillas and people in the area. And if you've noticed, some of these presidential decision directives like 2022 and 23 and 62 and 63, they're basically designed to fight the guerrilla war that takes place after the all-out attack, except 62 and 63 does put naval commandos, and it resurrects naval commandos in the form of killer marine-style units and SEAL team units to defend about 98 critical infrastructure locations where they will literally gun any of us down, especially patriots and Christians, if we come near them, because unless you're a believer in something, you don't have the guts to fight to the death. That's the way they see you. But you're talking about very small numbers, and when you get to around, oh, I think it's 17.5% of the population that agrees with you and 3.5% that'll fight. The fish, the revolutionary fish, have an ocean to swim in, and even the communists know that.
Hey, Lewis?
So it's pretty much set in concrete at that point, guys.
Okay. Hey, Lewis?
Yeah.
We sure appreciate you calling in, but we're out of time.
Okay, so, guys. Get Dunnigan's books, and they'll give you those exact figures.
All righty. Thanks a million, and Yahweh bless you, bud.
Same to you guys.
Okay, Willie, you got about 30 seconds if you want to say something in closing.
Okay, well, like I said, if people will email me and request whatever it is they want to, my email address once again is 13texan@earthlink.net. DeanTexan@earthlink.net. And I've also got a CD-ROM that I sell for $39.95 if anybody's interested, if you don't mind me putting it out.
That's fine.
And I think Dan's got a copy of it.
Yes, I do.
And it's got 13 of my books and studies on it. And like, you know, they're not all original studies of mine. They're, you know, I've got you know, in there mixed in there with other folks' studies and stuff, whatnot like that. So if you'd like to have one of them, well, send that to Willie Martin, 13600 Quiet Cove, 13600 Quiet Cove, McLeod, Oklahoma. McLeod, McLeod, Oklahoma. And I'll be glad to ship you out a copy of that.
All right,
thank
you.
Thanks, Willis. Also.
Okay, thanks for being on the program, and thanks, Lewis, for calling in there with that valuable information. And Yahweh bless you all. And we'll see you tomorrow night at the same time, and we encourage you to stay tuned at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this same channel. Again, it's the 27th of December. So Yahweh bless. Keep your powder dry, folks. According to Lewis and many others, we may see a need for it here in the near future. Take care. Yahweh bless one and all. Bye-bye.